Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, May 13th, Friday the 13th, 2011, Washington, D.C., the United States of America, still, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. United States of America, the greatest country on the face of the earth, at least for now. Still, the last hope, the last chance. I don't know. I just watched an episode of Glenn Beck. He's been doing a series of broadcasts on impending all-out social breakdown. And he asked, our government thinks it needs to be prepared for the worst-case scenario. Why would it be crazy for you to want to do the same thing? I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones, and you're listening to the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. At the introduction, Glenn Beck talked about a total collapse of the United States by 2014. All banks have been nationalized, businesses and unions are run by the government. 50 million people are unemployed worldwide, and countries have collapsed. Mexico has been taken over by a narco-terrorist. He even had to run a disclaimer at the beginning of his show. At least people think this was like War of the Worlds. Now, the funny thing is that I just went out to lunch earlier today with a former friend, a student, and a good friend of mine, and we were discussing the exact same thing. I mentioned what I saw as frightening left-wing craziness and moral breakdown across this country. And I said offhand that we needed to dig in our heels and fight the Obama administration's takeover of this great country. Obama, who is nationalizing everything, healthcare, the auto industry, and banking industry to some extent. I suggested that we could have Democrats in power for two terms or more, and the total breakdown of society wasn't that far-fetched. Oh, yeah. We'd still have constitutional democracy, but America would be different. Abortion on demand, marriage abolished in favor of a civil union, hodgepodge. Our country downsized and hollowed out, backed by unconstitutional diplomacy with our enemies from Caracas to southern Lebanon or to Tehran. Multiculturalism, I find that hard to say, it takes over the schools with conservatism and traditional speech prohibited under a new regime of hate crimes legislation, which is starting to happen even now. For example, UCLA Chicano Studies Research Center hate speech on commercial talk radio. And my friend said he was thinking about buying a little house out in Montana or somewhere, so he'd have a retreat for his family if the country erupted into Katrina-like anarchy. He mentioned that California, which is where he's from, is expecting a biblical-level earthquake at any time, and their state government is totally incompetent. So he wants to be ready. I spoke with another friend about this, and here's a snippet of what her family has been doing amid real concerns of American anarchy. I think there's going to be a series of serious shortage of food. And personally, we have been buying food for storage for the past few months, and we'll continue to do so. Besides the food, we're stocking up on many other essentials, like over-the-counter meds and first aid supplies. We're stocking multivitamins and minerals, allergy meds, ibuprofen. We're in town, which concerns me. But there's not much we can do about that. As things progress, there's going to be a roaming gangs of people taking whatever they get from anyone who has anything. Now, this is a friend of mine. I was under the impression that our godlike president was going to bring us all together. It doesn't sound to me like there's much hope and change going on right now. More fear than anything else. It sounds like a lot of fear. She went on to say that up until last year, that they never owned any kind of weapon. And now they have five. She said, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but it's getting harder and harder to buy ammo. The stores are selling out as quickly as they get it in, and the price is going up by the week. The food prices are increasing rapidly. We are very, very aware of it. Even in those stores, some items have increased as much as a dollar or more on some items. Do you feel that way too? That things are spiraling out of control? And that our president and this current administration, well, they really haven't fostered this idea of hope. Remember Obama's speech during the inauguration where he said, America has chosen hope over fear. It doesn't quite seem that way, does it? I also have a friend who was a teacher in Texas who moved his entire family to Idaho and built a home in the mountains and has been stocking it for a very long time. Another friend is on a mountain outside of Atlanta, and he has made his home like a fortress. So let's think about Glenn Beck's hypothetical question. Would it be crazy for us to prepare for a worst-case scenario? I really don't think so. Although, look at how easy it is for extreme left-wing blogger Dave Neuert to smear Glenn Beck as an apocalyptic crackpot. I'm sure the prospect of conservative annihilation warms his heart. Folks, things are seriously out of whack in this country. My basic sense is that the economy will work its way out of recession in the next year or two. Companies will start hiring and investing. The housing market should bottom out before too long on its own. And the Republican Party will emerge out of its current funk to offer up a credible and potentially sensational challenger to the White House in 2012. That said, it's possible two terms of Barack Obama and perhaps another Democrat administration after that will leave a legacy of increasing socialization and social leveling, while a growing moral decay sweeps across the land among the multicultural constituencies of the Democrat Party establishment. It's no wonder why regular Americans are making preparations for some type of end-time scenario. Taking into consideration what has happened in Washington this past couple of weeks, who can second-guess them?
Built to keep us under control in order to change a human being into this.
Thank you for joining us, Webster.
Thank you, Jason. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. So, I mean, it really does seem like, you know, aside from the youth corps and aside from the media promoting him, that Obama's cult-like status is just growing and growing and growing. I mean, when I flew into Texas last week, you know, one of the guys with the big orange batons was wearing, you know, not a change Obama hat, not an Obama 08 hat, but just one of these stylist fashion things that you can get in any mall now, because he's all over hats. He's all over T-shirts. I mean, there's an Obama line of shoes. It's pretty incredible.
Well, I think it's not encouraging for the future of democracy to have a personality cult on the model of the various totalitarians in Europe in the 1920s and 30s. Interestingly enough, the Washington Post has recognized that the classic Obama poster is directly out of Soviet communism, Italian fascism, and German National Socialism. And it's very interesting. The guy who does these things is Shepard Fairey. You've probably seen him. The cover of Time magazine was Shepard Fairey. The cover of Washington Life, another one of the same type. You've probably seen the one with Obama Hope underneath. Things like this. In the Washington Post, this is the first time they've admitted, because they've been supporting Obama, of course, because they're the house organ of the Federal Reserve System. Mm-hmm. It says, this branding is brilliant, but it seems to disregard the iconic precedents of authoritarian propaganda originating in forms such as the Soviet poster art of the 1920s that Americans have traditionally resisted. So you're being invited to join the personality cult of a demagogue who he wants to become an authoritarian dictator, functioning differently than Bush. He's more demagogic. He's using left cover compared to Bush's right wing arguments. Right? Bush was talking Bin Laden, Al Qaeda, war on terror, 9/11. Bush was ranting about 9/11. Last night in his farewell, which was quite a spectacle. But now with Obama, it's going to be different. Now it's going to be, as he says, the Washington Post headline of today, I think, is extremely ominous. It is that Obama is now pledged to loot and pillage and sack Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, with the goal, of course, of convoying that money not to the poor, but to Wall Street. He's doing it under the direction of former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Adolf Volcker, Trilateral Commission, Carter administration, the guy who destroyed the U.S. industrial base with the worst usury in history, 22% prime rate. That's Volcker. He's the elder statesman, the éminence grise of this entire thing. And Obama says he wants to he wants entitlement reform. That means that your economic rights, won by the American people and the American labor movement with all kinds of struggles, the Detroit sit-down strikes, the San Francisco general strike, the Minneapolis Teamster strike, and the Toledo auto light, and a million other...
Now, the philosopher Plato was right when he stated that democracy ultimately leads to anarchy and then to tyranny. And what I see more and more is America slipping into anarchy and tyranny, and an exact mirror of the Hitler regime, as Billy states in the chat room. Now, will America, will thousands of police layoffs result in chaos and anarchy across America? Because what we're seeing today is America, America's cities going broke. America's cities not being able to meet their annual budgets. American cities going broke. It's just that simple. State after state after state, dramatically in the hole, for not millions, but billions of dollars. So here's how it's all going to go down. Because right now, thousands of police officers have been laid off all across America since the current economic crisis began. Thousands more are getting ready to be laid off. So could we be on the verge of a new era of chaos and anarchy in America as crime runs wild and there are just far too few police to respond to it all? That's the message that one billboard, blood-smeared billboard in Stockton, California is trying to get across. Paid for by the Stockton, California Police Union. The message of the billboard is chillingly clear. It states, and I quote, "Welcome to the second most dangerous city in California. Stop laying off cops." As state and city local governments across the United States, oh, that's an end quote after "stop laying off cops." Now, as state, city, and local governments across the United States continue to be devastated by the ongoing economic crisis, budget cuts are becoming more deeper, and police forces have suddenly become a very popular target. Is it all part of some master plan by this administration, by Democrats? If there's no police force, if there are no policemen, if there are fewer police officers, then what's to stop crime? They're the first and last line of defense to stop other citizens from breaking into our homes and deciding that what we have is theirs for the taking, simply because we have it and they don't. We've all seen it across the globe. Even today, we've certainly seen it in movies and documentaries where the few, those unfortunate few, or perhaps, if you will, the unfortunate many, might decide that what Billy has in Billy's house, well, Billy doesn't deserve to have that. He has too much of it. So I'm just going to break down the door and take it. At gunpoint if necessary. I'd like to quote Officer Steve Leonesso, the president of the Stockton Police Officers Association. He's announced that the police union plans to spend approximately $20,000 on at least 20 more billboards. Why is the union putting up all of these billboards, you may ask. Well, it turns out that Stockton has been considering a plan to lay off 53 police officers in an effort to eliminate a $23 million budget deficit. Stockton is not a large town. But law enforcement in Stockton has already been cut to the bone. Recently, the Stockton Police Department dropped this bombshell. We absolutely do not have any narcotics officers, narcotics sergeants working with any kind of investigative narcotics type cases at this point in time. And you know what that means? That means that it's just welcome to the party. Let's party like it's 1972. Every drug dealer and narcotics dealer in the nation can set up operations in Stockton, California right now. With little or no fear that there'll be arrest, investigations, or any types of dealings. Do you think that drug dealers will be flocking to Stockton after they hear that? But the truth is that so many of these local governments around the nation are just flat broke at this point. Even major cities are having to admit that they have accumulated such large debt that they cannot even afford to provide the most basic services any longer. And here we have an administration who ignores these issues. And they're talking about Obama talks about spending. No. He doesn't use the term spending. It's investing in education, in high-speed rail, in green energy. How about investing in a few police officers if you're going to invest anything at all? But I think it's to this administration's advantage not to invest. What better reason to call out the National Guard, to start the beginnings of a police state, than to have criminals running rampant in cities like Stockton who don't have a viable police force anymore because the police force has been gutted by budget cuts, which would give the Obama administration an excuse to act in what he would say it would be an emergency situation. Hence a group that I am a part of right now called the Oath Keepers. Look them up. Former, current military personnel, officers of the law, first responders, all of us together. Oath Keepers. Check us out on the net. In Oakland, California, the battle over police layoffs have made national headlines over the past couple of weeks. Oakland has laid off 80 police officers, and now the police chief says that there are some crimes that his department simply will not be able to respond to. These are the beginnings, folks. This is the beginning of anarchy. This is the beginning of the Obama administration using the power of the federal government to act in a, quote, emergency situation, end quote. When you've got this moronic imbecile who goes by the name of Common indeed, performing at the White House, after advocating the assassination of President Bush and cop killing in the White House, performing. Is it any wonder Do we wonder? Apparently, President Obama has no issue with cop killers or those who support cop killers. He has no respect for the police. He's nothing more than a simple community organizer. From the south side of Chicago, no less. I got to tell you what. It's all part of the plan. Do you think that criminals will not be flocking to Oakland, California, knowing that the police force in Oakland has been gutted? Chief Anthony Bates has compiled a list of exactly 44 situations, including grand theft, burglary, car wrecks, identity theft, and vandalism, that his officers will not be able to handle any longer. What the hell? Once upon a time in America, you could get a police officer to come out for just about anything, including for getting a cat down out of a tree. But those days are long gone. Today, it's very hard to get a police officer to come out for anything short of murder. Now, the following is a partial list of crimes that police officers in Oakland will no longer be responding to. This is not a joke, folks. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. The list goes as follows: burglary, theft, embezzlement, grand theft dog, identity theft, false information to peace officer, required to register as a sex or arson offender, dump waste or offensive matter, a discard appliance with lock, loud music, possesses forged notes, pass fictitious checks, obtain money by false voucher, fraudulent use of access cards, stolen license plate, embezzlement by an employee over $400, extortion, attempted extortion, false personification of other, injury, telephone, power line, interfere with a power line, unauthorized cable TV connection, and vandalism. And not that Oakland wasn't already a mess, but now, how long do you think it would be before total chaos and anarchy reigns on the streets of Oakland? Because this is news. It's out there, folks. Every criminal in the United States of America now has a safe haven in the city of Oakland. What you just heard is a list of what the police chief in Oakland says that Oakland police officers will no longer respond to. Why? Because Oakland is broke. Now, count up all the other states that are similarly broke and who will be forced to lay off police officers, sheriff's officers, firemen. Oakland isn't alone. The sheriff's department in Alabasta County, I'm sorry, I mispronounced that. It's Ashtabula County, Ohio, has been slashed from 112 to 49 deputies. And there's now just one vehicle remaining to patrol all 702 square miles of the county. Just one. So what are the citizens of that county supposed to do to protect themselves? Now, Billy states in the chat room that no police department has ever been responsible for my safety, nor do they ever guarantee that. You're absolutely right, Billy. However, there are those who depend upon local police departments to do their job, to protect them, to protect and serve. Now, people like you, Billy, and me, well, hey, I'm a retired Marine officer. I've got more guns than my local police department. There's no doubt about that. I'm armed to the teeth. I don't need the police at all. But there are those out there who do. So, I ask again, what are the citizens of Ashtabula County in Ohio supposed to do to protect themselves? Well, when asked about what they should do, Judge Alfred McKay gave this stunning piece of advice. Billy, listen up. Quote, arm themselves. Judge Alfred McKay gave that advice to the citizens of the county that I just mentioned. Arm yourselves. Anarchy. Anarchy reigns. So is that what we're left with? Anarchy? I'll be right back in a moment.
Under the college teacher from Chicago who is not getting his way. You're going to see some terrible things happen over the next months and years under this despot. Baby Doc Obama will, if he's not stopped, is likely to become, very likely to become, Papa Doc Obama. A story just came out that the New York Times will publish tomorrow that White House gangsters, I mean officials, are figuring out ways to use the executive powers, meaning executive, writs, to advance energy, environmental, and other policy priorities that the American people do not want, that Congress does not want. So if you actually think that Obama is a nice guy who simply cares about America, you're out of your damn mind. The man is a far left, off the charts, radical leftist, never should have been president. We warned you, you didn't listen. You're going to pay the price for it. Many of you who switched over from the Republican side to teach the Republicans a lesson, I warned you that even the old war horse McCain, as bad as he was, would have been better. You didn't listen to me. And believe me, I know McCain's flaws. But here's what we're facing now. Because he cannot get it through the democratic process. They say he's going to use, because his radical left-wing friends in some of the most horrible places on earth, the radical left-wingers who do not believe in freedom, do not believe in democracy, they believe in despotism and serfdom, are pushing this character to use executive writs, something that you would see in a third world nation, to get his way with environmental, energy, and other policy priorities, including so-called health care. Years ago, I wrote a couple of big bestsellers. Many of you don't know this. I wrote, The Savage Nation, then I wrote The Enemy Within, then Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, then The Political Zoo. In The Enemy Within, here's what I wrote. It said, saving America from the liberal assault on our schools, faith, and military. I failed, I have to admit. I did my best. I try to awaken you. I try to warn you. I wrote a book that I thought clearly laid out what the dangers were to we the people. It was published in 2003. It did very well, but it didn't save America.
That's exactly right. Obama will not be able to get his agenda passed quickly enough through the legislative process. He's going to go around the Constitution. He's going to issue a series of executive orders that will pretty much bring this country to its knees. And things like issues that are happening in places like California and Ohio are only going to serve to give Obama the excuse he needs for anarchy to reign in this country, and for him to say, hey, it's an emergency. I have to act in an emergency situation. And the next thing you know, we're going to be living under martial law. This guy is dangerous, folks. President Obama is a danger to the United States of America. President Obama is a danger to you. He has to go. 2012, get out there and let's get rid of this guy. Let's send him back to wherever the hell he came from. Chicago, Asia, Hawaii, wherever the hell he wants to go, let's give him a one-way ride, that last ride on Air Force One, and send his ass back. We have got to send a message. Things are really out of hand. I've got some more examples for you right here and right now. Because it's getting really frightening, folks. Is American society degenerating into a rogue warrior style wasteland where we are all left to fend for ourselves simply because our state and local governments cannot afford? Our state and local governments cannot afford to enforce basic laws like identity theft, grand theft, embezzlement, burglary, false information to a peace officer, bad checks, extortion, attempted extortion, vandalism, basic things. GGT, welcome. Now, let's move on. I've got some more examples here. As I stated earlier, it's getting really frightening when you start considering just how many police are actually being laid off across the United States. Acting State Police Director Jonathan Mokin has announced that the Illinois State Police will lay off more than 460 troopers and close to 5 regional headquarters by this fall. Atlantic City Mayor Lorenzo Langford has proposed a plan to lay off 40 police officers. The police department in Vallejo, California, will temporarily suspend its canine and SWAT programs at the end of the month in a move to delay officer layoffs. Last year, 18 special police units in Toledo, Ohio, including the gang task force and the mounted patrol, were eliminated or downsized in an effort to replace the 130 patrol officers who were laid off because of a $2.7 million budget deficit. Folks, if we don't have a viable police department, if we don't have police officers to assist us, to enforce the laws, then the game's over. Because, and I'll say it one more time, the Obama administration will use these issues as a reason to begin to enforce martial law on all of these states, New Jersey, Ohio, California. But wait, there's more. of 315 municipalities, the New Jersey State Policemen's Union canvassed, and more than half indicated that they were planning to lay off police officers. Four police officers in one town in New Jersey were greeted at work this past Monday morning with notices informing them that they will be laid off. Police in Phoenix, Arizona have been told that more than 400 officers could be impacted by layoffs if the worst case scenario plays out. Now, do you think that for 1 minute that the Obama administration will not use this as a reason to send in the troops? Now, listen to this. It's very important.
To bring change to America will bring an end to the U.S. Professor Igor Panarin, who is the author of the book, The Crash of America, says President Obama will lead his country to a breakup, just like Mikhail Gorbachev did.
Obama is the president of hope, but in a year, there won't be any hope. He's practically another Gorbachev. He likes to talk, but hasn't really managed to do anything. Gorbachev had at least been a secretary of a regional Communist Party administration, whereas Obama was just a social worker. His mentality is totally different. He's a nice person and talks nicely, but he's not a leader and will take America to a crash. When Americans understand that, it will be like a bomb explosion.
All right. Oh, what you just heard was Professor Igor Panarin, whose book, The Crash of America, is just out. And he claims that by November of 2012, the book will be yesterday's news. We have a situation here, folks. America is in serious trouble. And frankly, I don't see any way out of it. I am deeply, deeply concerned. You've got another clip here of this political scientist who has predicted the collapse of the United States of America.
Igor Nikolaevich, in one of your previous lectures, you've mentioned that the United States could be actually disintegrating in the near future. You made such theories about 10 years ago when the United States was a flourishing state. What are you basing your theories on?
In the light of today's crisis in the U.S., many people started talking about possible major changes in the country. But I expressed my concept back in September 1998 in Linz, Austria, at the Information War Conference. On the 9th of September, I produced a report with a very unusual ending. I kept the ending of my report secret from the other participants of the conference. A huge map of the United States appeared on a 40-meter screen. I pushed a button on my computer, and this map fell into 6 pieces. 400 people in the audience cried out in shock. Before the map fell apart, it had the disintegration of the USA in 2010 written on it. My statement got a huge response, but even to my surprise, many Americans and Europeans took my ideas very seriously. At the time, I emphasized the three main reasons which, in my opinion, could lead to the collapse of the US. The first one is the moral and psychological factor and the stress of the American population. The second one is the financial and economic problems. And the third one is the increase of anti-Americanism in the world.
Well, let's imagine the United States really start to fall out. How will this disintegration happen? And how many parts will the United States be divided then?
At that time, I expressed my concept. It would fall into 6 parts, and I backed it up with several factors. First of all, there were the ethnic, economic, and geographical factors. So we see a totally different ethnic group and ethnic interests. Texas and the Gulf of Mexico coast are the fuel and energy complex, the oil sector. California is Silicon Valley and high tech. Considering New York, Washington, and the Atlantic coast, they are all financial centers first of all. And the northern states of the U.S. are basically the depressive states, which are close to Canada in their mentality and economic development. This is how I divide these parts. The danger is this would not be a very beneficial solution for Russia.
Well, as soon as you've mentioned it, how this potential disintegration of the United States can affect the world, and in particular, what would it mean for Russia?
The Russian economy and Russian industry is very much dependent now on the situation in the United States. Of course, if this crisis keeps developing, Russia is going to face quite a hard time in the next 6 months. In this sense, Russia, in my opinion, should do its utmost to minimize the influence of the American crisis on its internal structure and of the social and political stability and economic stability. For the approaching meeting of the 20 most economically developed states in the world in London, Russia suggests, and I fully support it, finding a new supercurrency instead of the dollar, and finding those mechanisms that would satisfy not only Russia, but the BRIC countries as well.
Now, here's what I think. You have a Soviet political scientist, a noted author and scholar, who is predicting the breakup of the United States of America into separate states. Could it be simple sour grapes? Could it be that, the Soviet Union broke up? Maybe there's just a little bit of envy there. Or could it be something more? Could it be something deeper? Four police officers in one town in New Jersey were greeted at work this past Monday morning with notices informing them that they will be laid off on August 31st. Police in Phoenix, Arizona have been told that more than 400 officers could be impacted by layoffs if the worst case scenario plays out. Police and firefighters in Flint, Michigan decided that layoffs were preferable to taking a 15% pay and benefits cut. The city of Maywood, California, laid off all 68 of its employees. They're now contracting out police services. In Colorado Springs, dozens of police positions are going unfilled, and the police helicopters were put up for sale on the internet. The sad thing is that as local police forces across America are being stripped down and dismantled, many communities are opening their arms wide to increased federal law enforcement assistance. In recent years, we've seen a large number of examples where the U.S. military is being used for domestic law enforcement, which is supposed to be against the law. It's called posse comitatus. In addition, the federal government agencies are increasingly taking over the financing, training, and even command of local police. Now, this is called federalization of local law enforcement. Is it a good thing? Of course not. It's a prelude to an oncoming police state, folks. Is this the hope and the change that you voted for? It's coming. It's coming, and I don't see that there's very much that we can do about it. We do not have a viable presidential candidate as of right now. There is no Ronald Reagan on the horizon. Unfortunately, we live at a time when almost everything is being centralized under federal government control. Of course, this is completely contrary to everything that our founders intended. But most of our officials don't seem to be concerned about actually following the Constitution these days. It's considered an outdated piece of paper, a joke, an idea whose time has passed. What are you seeing? What are you seeing in your own local community, Billy? GDT, Beach Bum 55, and everybody else who's listening, what do you see? Is the police force being slashed where you live? Is crime on the rise? Feel free to call in and talk about it. We'll be doing this show all next week. You're on with the Dr. C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. And for those of you on a budget, and who isn't these days, 877-666-9305. I was visiting Marine Base Quantico, Virginia, just 3 days ago. And just before leaving, I took the opportunity to walk into a gun store located in the town of Quantico. The place was packed, and not just with Marine officers. Folks are buying guns. Hell, I bought one myself. In fact, I bought two. Just to add to the addition, because, folks, it's coming. Our time is coming. Is this the time where we become like ancient Rome? Is our time up? Is the United States of America, is our time up? Things are seriously out of whack in this country. How's that hope and change working out for you? Where you have a government that is increasingly taking control of your everyday lives. I watched an episode, a segment on Fox News the other day. Now, this may seem almost trivial in light of what I've thrown out today, tonight. But there is a school, a system in the United States, somewhere out there, I'll let you look it up, that is monitoring with a camera what our children are having for breakfast and lunch in the school system. There is a school system here in the United States that is monitoring what our children are having on their plates for breakfast and lunch during the school day, and then making recommendations to parents on what the child should be eating. Does anybody remember the movie Equilibrium, where the state has complete and total control of how we think and how we feel, such to the extent that the citizens in the movie Equilibrium are required to administer a dose of a drug that on a daily basis that will inhibit their ability to feel. To feel passion, to feel joy, Because in the movie, it's thought that if you're feeling, then feeling leads to acts of violence, perhaps jealousy, rage, things that cause harm to other people, wars even. Watch the movie Equilibrium. There's a reason why these types of movies are put out there. There's a reason why George Orwell's 1984 is out there. There's a reason why Atlas Shrugged is out there. And it may sound trivial to you that I'm giving you an example based on a movie titled Equilibrium. But it's not. These movies, the book Atlas Shrugged, George Orwell's book 1984, they exist to warn you. Don't take these things lightly. The United States government seems to enjoy spending our money with the zeal of a rap star. They like it so much, in fact, that they're going to need a little bit more from you. And what do we get for that money? What do we get? Folks, please, be forewarned. America is in deep, deep trouble right now. We have Democrats, we have this current administration, completely ignoring the fact that we are pretty much flat broke. Are they all just morons? Are they just stupid people who are walking around with rose-colored glasses, refusing to believe that the United States of America is broke and that we are on the verge of insolvency? Just refusing to believe it. Can every single one of these liberals be stupid? Or is there something more sinister at work here? Is there a bigger plan at work here? Is there a little sleight of hand going on here? But when you have the communities that I have listed so far, and they're just a few, who are going broke and cannot afford to provide basic police and fire services, first responders, cannot afford to provide these basic services that hold a great many communities together. Think of Oakland, California right now. If I am a criminal, where will I go? I'm telling you right now that Barack Hussein Obama is going to use, he's going to take this opportunity to institute martial law in these towns that I have listed so far tonight. It's going to be a pilot program. Remember, Barack Obama said that we need a civilian security force, just as powerful, just as well funded as our military. We need a civilian security force. A civilian security force. Think about that. When you're thinking about that, think about what's going on. Think about it. And don't think of me and Barack Obama No, I'm sorry, me and Glenn Beck. It's just a bunch of, it's a couple of crackpots, a couple of lunatics who are just like Chicken Little. The sky has fallen. We've got to have a civilian security force.
We continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
In that speech, sitting right behind Barack Obama were police officers, retired military personnel, a civilian national security force. A civilian national security force for Oakland, California, perhaps.
The Nazi revolution is a fact.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well funded.
Am I crazy? It's a rhetorical question. Is Glenn Beck crazy? It was Glenn Beck who said that 6 months ago. He said, soon, very soon, gas prices will start to rise. Soon, very soon, food prices will start to skyrocket. Prepare yourselves, he said. Back then, bread was, for me, $1.49. Now, that same loaf of bread is $2.49. For me, the day Glenn Beck issued his warning, the yogurt that I covet at Walmart was 40 cents. Today, it's 59 cents. It has never been more than 50 cents. It's 59 today. I can go on and on and on with examples of food prices rising, gas prices rising, electricity necessarily skyrocketing. Is this the hope and change that you voted for? Is this the hope and the change that you voted for? Is this America the Beautiful? I need to get the word out. You need to get the word out. We need some damn hope and change in 2012 before it is too late. I am disgusted right now, and I'm very much concerned. Obama is not a stupid man. Oh, yeah, he's a fool. And he's hell-bent on destroying America as we know it. But he's no fool. He's not stupid. He's a fool. He's not stupid. He knows exactly what he's doing. And just like when I entered boot camp, March 13th, 1979, the Marine Corps breaks you down and pretty much rebuilds you the way they want you to be in order to reach a certain objective as a fighting force as a whole. What's happening here in the Obama administration is the administration is breaking America down in an effort to rebuild it the way Barack Obama believes that America should be. What did he say? He wants to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Billy says that Barack Obama is an educated fool, and indeed he is. Make no mistake, folks, Barack Hussein Obama means this country no good. No good. I could go on and on. We'll have part two of the destruction of America tomorrow. Anarchy. Make no mistake, the Obama administration, President Obama himself said that the problems that we are experiencing will not be fixed in just 2 short years or 4 years, but it will take several years, maybe more. Do you know what I heard when I heard that? I heard that Obama isn't going anywhere for the next several years. I believe that the Obama administration will seek to pack the court with very young, idealistic judges who believe that the Constitution is a living document. He has already circumvented the Constitution numerous times. He has already bypassed Congress numerous times, both the House and the Senate. What is to stop President Barack Hussein Obama from moving away from being an elected official to a dictator, a ruler, by simply saying that we are in an emergency situation and he's going to invoke martial law and suspend the Constitution and suspend elections and rule by executive order, executive decree? Because after all, states and local governments are unable to protect themselves. And is it not true that the federal government's job is to protect American citizens? Obama will use what's happening here today, right now, across America to his advantage. I kid you not. Be prepared. Be ready. We're in trouble, America. When you get up tomorrow morning, watch the news. I don't care if it's Fox News, Fair and Balanced, my personal choice. Don't hope to get your news from MSNBC or CNN. Get it from somewhere else. We're in trouble, America. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you, Billy, Beach Bum, all my internet listeners. Thank you so much for being here. I really do appreciate it. I want you to think about what's going on in this country. Please. Barack Obama and his minions and his cronies in 2012 have got to go. Otherwise, we're doomed. We're doomed. Good night, America. Thank you for listening.
You stand there in the polling place and make a decision. I think when you make that decision, it might be well if you would ask yourself, are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
We have every right to dream heroic dreams. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are America.
Letter came from Peter Sweeney. He's in the second grade in the Riverside School in Rockville Center. And he said, I hope you get well quick, or you might have to make a speech in your pajamas. Let us be sure that those who come after will say of us in our time, that in our time we did everything that could be done. We finished the race. We kept them free. We kept the faith. All we need to begin with is a dream that we can do better than before. All we need to have is faith, and that dream will come true. All we need to do is act, and the time for action is now. The world's hopes rest with America's future. America's hopes rest with us. So let us go forward to create our world of tomorrow in faith, in unity, and in love.
Now is a plan and a hope for the long term. The march of freedom and democracy, which will leave Marxism-Leninism on the ash heap of history as it has left other tyrannies which stifle the freedom and muzzle the self-expression of the people.
General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
On repeated warnings, Gaddafi continued his reckless policy of intimidation, his relentless pursuit of terror. He counted on America to be passive. He counted wrong. I warned that there should be no place on earth where terrorists can rest and train and practice their deadly skills. I meant it. I said that we would act with others if possible and alone if necessary to ensure that terrorists have no sanctuary anywhere. Tonight, we have.
Not at all. Mr. Truitt, and I want you to know that also, I will not make age an issue of this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Forgive me. I'm gonna do it just one more time. You wait.